From Spark and Anvil and LifeQuest, this is Save, in Chapter 1 of the LifeQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
On the first day of the market fair, a small mouse named Save sat at a wooden table with four little jars and a stub of pencil, and did something that looked, to everyone rushing past, extremely boring. She had 10 copper coins in a row in front of her. She was not spending them. She was not hiding them. She was moving them, one at a time, into the jars. Clink, 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 and murmuring to herself as she went. A rabbit skidded to a stop at her table, breathless, clutching his own fistful of coins. "You're just sitting here sorting money into cups," he said. "The whole fair's out there." "I'm not sitting," Save said. "I'm planning the tool." The rabbit stared. "Watch." Save tapped the first jar. "This one's for the things I already promised. My share of the wagon rental. 4 coins. Done. Gone." She tapped the second. "This one's for the stuff I need to get through the day. Bread. Water. 3 coins. The third jar got 2 coins. Fun. A ribbon maybe, or a hot bun. The last jar got 1 lonely coin. And this one just stays. For later me." The rabbit looked at his own crumpled fistful. "I was going to buy everything at the first stall." "You still can," Save said kindly. "You'll just know which coins are which. That's all a plan is, knowing which coin is doing which job before it runs off on you." The rabbit went quiet, uncrumpled his fist, and counted his coins into a slow, careful row.
Save had learned to do this the hard way when she was very small. The first time she'd ever been handed her own money, 5 coins for helping stack apples all afternoon, she'd felt rich and enormous. By sundown, she had a sticky candy, a whistle that broke, half a paper kite, and nothing left. When her stomach growled on the walk home and she had no coin for bread, her ears went hot and her chest went tight. And she thought, "I did all that work. Where did it go? I must be bad at this." Her uncle, an old gray mouse who mended nets by the harbor, hadn't scolded her. He just sat her down and set out a heel of bread between them. "You feel like you failed," he said. "It wasn't a question." Save nodded, miserable. "You didn't fail, little one. You just didn't plan the tool." He broke the bread and gave her half. "Money's only a tool, like my needle here. A needle isn't good or bad. It only matters what job you pointed at. You had 5 coins and no job for any of them, so they all wandered off. Next time, give each coin a job before you leave the house. Then you'll always know where your work went." The tight feeling in her chest didn't vanish, but it eased, the way a knot eases when you finally see which thread to pull. The money wasn't magic that some people had and some people didn't. It wasn't a report card on whether she was good. It was a tool. And tools? She could learn.
She walked to the academy at 12, because a place that taught life skills ought to understand the quietest, most useful one of all. Steward, the old mentor at the gate, didn't ask her to prove she was clever. He asked one thing. "If I gave you 200 coins for a month, what would you do first?" Save didn't answer with a speech. She borrowed his chalk and drew a plain diagram on the gatepost. A line coming in and 3 lines going out in order. 200 in, she said, tapping the top. "First out, the things I already owe. A transit pass, 80. A phone, 40. That's 120. Gone before I touch the rest." She drew the next line. "That leaves 80. Then the things I want. I'd kept those at 50 so I don't spend without noticing." She drew the last, smallest line. "And 30 just stays, for later, or for when something breaks." Steward looked at the little diagram for a long moment. "Not magic," he said. "Not shame. A plan you can change when life changes." "You belong here," he added, and handed her back the chalk.
Save's corner of the academy was full of kids who felt like the rabbit had. One afternoon, a badger boy slumped into the chair across from her. He'd earned some money doing chores, spent it all in a rush, and now sat there feeling like it had slipped through his paws. "It's just gone," he said. I don't even know on what. I feel like I'm bad with money. Save knew that slump. She'd felt it on the walk home with the growling stomach. You're not bad with money, she said. You just haven't given it any jobs yet. Here, how much did you earn? 12? She set out 4 small tins. Okay, what did you have to cover this week? Nothing fancy, just the musts. He thought, I owed my sister 3 for the game she let me. 3, in the first tin. That job's done. 2 coins into the tin. Anything you actually need? Lunch on market day. 2 more. Now, what's left? He counted. 7. That's yours to split. Some for fun, some that just waits. She slid the 4th tin toward him. You don't have to save a lot. Even 1 coin that waits is a coin that's got your back later. The badger moved the coin slowly, and Save watched his shoulders come down. It's less scary when they each have a spot, he said. That's the whole trick, Save said. Money's not a test of who you are. Different jobs pay different amounts. Different families carry different weights. That's just the world, not a scoreboard. The plan is the same tool for anybody. Income, then the musts, then the wants, then whatever waits, in that order. She grinned. Boring. Steady. Yours.
Later, when the tins were tucked away, the badger came back with 1 more question, quieter now. But what if there's barely anything to plan with? He said. What if the number's just small? Save thought about 5 coins gone by sundown and her uncle breaking bread in half. Then you plan the small number, she said. That's not a smaller kind of smart. It's the whole kind. Nobody's tool works better because they've got more of it. A plan for 12 coins is exactly as real as a plan for 200. And the day something goes wrong, and it will, for everybody. The one who planned isn't the one with the most. It's the one who knew which coin had their back. The badger nodded, and Save felt something settle in her, the same quiet she'd felt the day her uncle told her she hadn't failed. She didn't say the rest out loud, but she thought it, warm and sure. The sick slipped through my paws feeling isn't proof you're bad at anything. It's just money without a job yet. Give it a job, and the worry has somewhere to go to.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to save. Released under Creative Commons BY-NCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.